This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. There's nothing glamorous about war, but there is adrenaline, there is chance, and there are extraordinary circumstances. The men who survived it all often attribute their fortune to luck as much as anything else, and who's to say? But their survival brings with it the stories of that time and an education for the rest of us. We're speaking today with Marvin Hollenbeck. Mr. Hollenbeck retired as a colonel from the Marine Corps in 1964 after 22 years of service. He flew in both World War II and Korea. He was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross with 2 gold stars and an Air Medal with a silver star and 3 gold stars. He also piloted the first U.S. plane to land on Iwo Jima. It's my great pleasure to welcome him today. Mr. Hollenbeck, thank you for joining us.
Well, yes, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, we've talked together about your father-in-law, Fred Rohrer, the work he did on the Spirit of St. Louis. Your legacy, your history in aviation is astonishing. Mr. Rohrer polished the cowling on the Spirit of St. Louis. He cut open a fuel tank to retrieve a foreign object someone had left inside that could have plugged up a fuel pickup. But today I want to talk about you. Let's start with the landing on Iwo. What was the mission then, and how did you approach it?
Well, Iwo Jima, they estimated there were 23,000 Japs on the island before we hit it on D-Day. We had over 22,000 casualties taking the island and 6,800 of those dead. I was on Guam, and we equipped the airplane with an extra 500-gallon fuel tank in the fuselage, in addition to the 5,000 pounds of mortar ammunition that I was to deliver to the troops in Iwo Jima.
Which aircraft was this that you were tasked to fly in there with?
It was the Kurz Commando. We called it the R-5C. The Air Force called it the C-46. It's a two-engine cargo airplane that had two R2800 Pratt & Whitney engines. I took off, went to Saipan, refueled, and I arrived at Iwo Jima. The radio jeep that was acting as tower said that if I landed at all, I would have to land downwind with an 18-knot downwind on 3,000 feet of volcanic ash that the Seabees had just filled in the bomb craters, and the runway was just volcanic ash, and that I would have to land an 18-knot downwind because if I tried to land into the wind, they'd shoot me down on the final approach for sure. So since I was there to do the job, they elected to try it and deliver the mortar ammunition to our troops. And as I went in, going very, very fast on, get stopped on 3,000 feet. So I locked both brakes and the tires just made 2 furrows in the volcanic ash as I was sliding down the runway. And I had slid to the left-hand side of the runway. It was a CV roller directly at the end of the runway in front, and I was going to hit it for sure, so I had the ground loop in order to avoid hitting it. I released the left brake, and the airplane went around 1.5 before it stopped, and luckily the landing gear did not shear on all of that side force caused by the ground loop. And we offloaded as quickly as we could, and we took off into the wind and went back to Saipan. And luckily, we didn't get any holes at all in the airplane.
Where were the front lines at that time? How far from where you landed was the fighting?
The fighting was right close. All we had was Mount Suribachi and the little 3,000-foot right next to it, and that's practically all the land that we owned on there on Iwo Jima.
Moving on, you flew in Korea. You flew the F-9F Panther, one of the first jet fighters that the U.S. was flying in military operations. I know you flew then with a famed baseball player, Ted Williams, on your wing, and were there on at least one occasion when he could have had a very bad day and not come home to a throng of adoring fans. But I wanted to talk to you about the tunnel bombing that you participated in. Could you tell me about the missions you flew to bomb the trains in Korea?
The communists, the North Koreans, could not move their heavy equipment down to the 38th parallel where the fighting was going on, except by train. The only other thing they had were oxen, and they could not move the trains during daylight or moonlight nights, because we had air superiority over both South and North Korea, and we would knock the trains off by air. And so they had to move the trains during dead dark nights, and then they would have to hide their trains in tunnels en route when they could not do it all by dark nights. So we had good intelligence, and we knew when and where they would hide the trains en route. So I drew the mission of bombing the trains inside the tunnels rather than just bombing the entrance to the tunnels, because they could repair that and have the trains en route to the 38th parallel in short time. So we had to go in. We went in at 22,000 feet, changed course very often to avoid getting hit by the anti-aircraft fire, and then we'd dive and get down at very fast speed in order to get the bombs released and into the tunnels as fast as we could and get out of there before we were hit, because they were firing with us and protecting those tunnels with everything they had. And so we'd go in at 50 feet above the railroad tracks at 400 knots. That's about 456 miles an hour statute miles. And had two 1,000-pound general-purpose bombs with 8 to 10-second delay fusing on each. So I released the bombs, and I didn't release quick enough, and the bombs hit on top of the tunnel and didn't get in the tunnel like I was supposed to get them in there. And then they ricocheted up the mountain as I pulled up 7G force to avoid hitting the mountain. But luckily, due to the 8 to 10-second delay fusing on the bombs, I didn't get any shrapnel in my plane as I pulled up. Did get a jolt, but that was all.
So the idea on these runs was literally to skip these bombs down the tracks into the tunnel to blow up in the middle of the tunnel with the train?
Yes.
And you guys actually had success with that, huh?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. We've been speaking today with Marvin Hollenbeck, retired Colonel, U.S. Marine Corps, a man whose service to his country earned him the Distinguished Flying Cross. I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.